Hillsborough Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In the story of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are given a story within the story that tells us what was going on when our Lord was crucified. And if you and I would understand the cross, this story within the story is greatly helpful. And I pray that God will bless this to our understanding. One morning, a man woke up in a Roman prison cell. He was in chains, bound. And he woke up knowing that this was the day that he was to be crucified with two others. His time of execution had come. His name was Barabbas. Barabbas means the son of the father. You've heard of the word Abba, and Bar means son of, the son of the father. And there's great typical significance to his name. Truly, he is the type of what a natural man is, the son of our first father, Adam. But he's also a type as to what a son of the heavenly father is. The son of the father. Now, Barabbas was a wicked man. Matthew's account tells us that he was a notable or notorious prisoner. John tells us he was a robber. And that doesn't simply mean someone who stole things or shoplifted. It means someone who plundered by violence. Have you ever been the victim of a violent crime? Or do you know anyone who has been the victim of a violent crime? It's so horrible. These people are never the same. They live in fear after they experience this. And who knows how many lives this man ruined, Barabbas, through violent crime. As a matter of fact, we're told he was a murderer. And he was guilty of insurrection. He was a rebel against all authority. Barabbas was a wicked man. But who knows what was going on in his mind that day when he woke up? Was he hardened? Perhaps. Was he feeling remorse over his wasted life? Perhaps. Was he afraid of being crucified? Most certainly. Was he afraid of death, standing before God? You can be sure he was. But there he lays bound, knowing in a short time he will be crucified. Now let me take you to another scene. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 27. This is the trial of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And this was a custom. During the Passover, every Passover, he would release a prisoner, whoever the people desired. And they had then a notable or notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Now, Barabbas didn't know this was going on. He was still in his prison cell. But our Lord is standing before Pilate at this time. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate was a savvy politician. He knew what was going on. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And you can be sure that Pilate was nervous. He was afraid at this time. He was afraid of the Lord Jesus. He didn't know what to think of this man. But the chief priests, verse 20, and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I will release unto you? They said, Barabbas, he's the one we want. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of this just person. You see to it. Somebody once said he's still trying to wash his hands in hell, and I believe that's so. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now let's go back to that Roman prison cell. Barabbas didn't know any of this was going on. So there he lays, bound in chains. And the guards come and open the prison door, and he's probably filled with dread and fear. And the guards say to him, You're released. You're set free. Go your way. Now, here is a time when the guilty, Barabbas, is set free. And the innocent, the Lord Jesus, is condemned. Now, I've entitled this message, A Salvation Story. And the Lord mercifully gives us this real event that took place to teach us what the cross means. Now, we find in this story how it is that God saves sinners. Now, I've got 4 points to this message. The first point is sovereignty. The second point is sin. The third point is substitution. And the fourth point is salvation. Now, the first point is sovereignty. Let me read a verse of Scripture from Luke chapter 23. Verse 16, he says, I will therefore chastise him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. Did you catch that word of necessity? It was necessary that he released one at the feast. Now, it was not prescribed in the law of Moses. It wasn't necessary in that sense, but it was necessary. It was necessary because God willed for it to take place. You see, everything that takes place is necessary because God is in control of it. God is absolutely sovereign. Now, what is meant by the sovereignty of God? Most people say they believe in the sovereignty of God, but what does it mean? God's sovereignty means this. First of all, God has a will. Secondly, God has the power to make sure His will comes to pass. And thirdly, God does indeed exercise that power and cause His will to come to pass. Everything that happens, happens because God willed it. God is the first cause behind all things. God is absolutely sovereign. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God is sovereign in creation. He willed this universe into existence. He had the power to do it, and He did it. God is sovereign in providence. Providence is everything that takes place in time. He controls everything. There's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as happenstance. There's no such thing as bad luck or good luck. God is in control of everything. He upholds all things by the word of His power. By Him, all things consist. There's nothing that happens without Him. Now, this is interesting. Men will agree that He's sovereign in creation, and most men will even agree that He's sovereign in providence. They say, well, everything works together for good somehow. There must be a reason for this. But God is also sovereign in salvation. That means He is in control of who will be saved. Everybody that's saved, He wills their salvation. He has the power to make sure they're saved, and He does in fact save them. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, what about man's will? Man's will doesn't have anything to do with it. It's God's will. Man's will is evil, but God wills the salvation of all of His people. God is sovereign, and the reason this event took place, the reason it was necessary, is because God decreed it. God purposed it, and whatever God purposes must come to pass. The death of Christ, every part of it was according to God's purpose. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. Everything that happened in His death happened according to His purpose. How many times in all the gospel accounts do we read that this happened or that happened, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled? Remember the soldiers casting lots for His garments. Well, Scripture says it would in Psalm 22. When He was pierced in the side, Zechariah and Psalm says that that's what's going to happen to Him. Everything that took place happened exactly as God said it would take place. So this story of Barabbas was a divine necessity. The custom was made for this one purpose. They're going to release this man at the Passover to teach us the gospel. So that's my first point, sovereignty. This release of Barabbas was all according to the purpose of God Almighty. And the second point is sin. Barabbas was a very sinful man, obviously a plunderer by violence, a murderer, a thief, and a rebel, one who stood against authority. And he typifies what all men are by nature, choice, and practice. Barabbas gives us a look at what we really are. Barabbas was bound. He was powerless to deliver himself. But I believe the chief priest's desire for Barabbas give us a look at the true nature of sin. Now let me read from Luke chapter 23, beginning verse 15. Pilate is seeking to have Christ set free. He's afraid of what's going on. I believe he's afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew there was something about Him. When he claimed to be the Son of God, Pilate was the more afraid, the Scripture said. But listen to this, beginning of verse 15. Pilate says, Herod, nor yet Herod or I, for I send him to you, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into the prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, understand this. If God left me or you to ourselves, it would be our will to get rid of God, to get rid of His throne, and to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivered Jesus to their will. Their will was the death of Christ. Now, here's man's will. People talk about free will, man having a free will, that's foolishness. Man has a will that's chained to an evil nature, and his evil nature controls his will. There's no such thing as free will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You can't be saved because you decide to be saved, because your will, my will, this is where our greatest guilt is. The fact that if left to ourselves, our desire, we would put Christ out of business. Now, maybe not a Christ of our imagination that we feel comfortable with. We're okay with that Jesus. But I'm talking about the Jesus Christ of Scripture. The Jesus Christ as He's revealed in the Word. That Christ we don't want to have any part of. He delivered Jesus to their will. Now, here is the total and complete depravity of all men by nature. Every one of us are guilty of this. If God left us to our will, we would murder His Son. That's how bad everybody is, me and you. My second point is sin. First, sovereignty. God is in control of all this. But here we see the enormity of human guilt. Now, my third point is substitution. The guilty is released, and the innocent is punished. And the reason the guilty is released is because the innocent is punished. Now, what a horrible thing when the guilty are set free. You know, I've been following in the papers recently where that man who was let out of prison, who was a sex offender, he'd been guilty of rape, and they let him out of prison. And he captured an 11-year-old girl, and just recently they found that girl who had been living in his backyard in tents, suffering all kinds of atrocities at his hand for 18 years. They found her when she was 29 years old. She'd had two children from this man, and this man committed such crimes against this woman, and this is what happens when the guilty go free. They let Barabbas out. Oh, what a horrible thing when the guilty is set free. What if someone murdered one of your children and our judicial system said, well, we're going to let him go? Why, we couldn't have that, could we? We couldn't have a society like that. What a terrible thing it is when the guilty go free. And what a horrible thing it is when the innocent are condemned. I wonder how many times throughout history someone who knew in their heart they were not guilty of the crime they were accused of was put to death. How many people have been strapped to an electric chair? How many people have had the noose tied around their neck? How many people have had the lethal injection knowing that they were not guilty of what they've been accused of? Wouldn't that be awful? The innocent being accused. Now, the only way that guilty could be released is if the innocent was condemned. And that's what happened that day. Barabbas got what Christ deserved. And Christ got what Barabbas deserved. But like all illustrations, it does not give us a complete picture. You see, if you committed a crime and I said, I'll do the time for you, that'd be nice of me, wouldn't it? You'd be grateful. But would justice be served? No. The only way justice can be served is if the one who committed the crime suffers the punishment. I love my daughter. I've got one daughter. And I love her dearly. And if she committed a crime that called for her death, I know that I would gladly die in her place if I could, but would justice be served? The answer to that is no. Justice is only served is if the guilty is punished. If I'm innocent of the crime and I'm punished for it, there's no justice in that. Justice is only served if the one who is guilty of the crime dies. Now here's the gospel. God is just. He wouldn't do something like that. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 17. I want to read this to you, verse 15. Proverbs 17, 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. The Lord is absolutely just, and He would never let the guilty go free. He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty, and He would never condemn the innocent. Now, how can God be just and justify the ungodly? How can that be? It says He won't clear the guilty. How can God be just and justify me? Now, understand this. On the cross, Christ wasn't innocent. It's not like the Father said, Son, I'm punishing you. I know these sins were not yours. They're the sins of your people, but I'm going to treat you and punish you in their place, but I know you're not guilty. No, that's not what took place at all. When Christ was on the cross, He didn't have the satisfaction of knowing, at least I'm not guilty of these sins. I'm doing this for somebody. No. There wasn't anybody around the cross saying, oh, we know you're doing this for us and we're thankful. No, Christ was guilty of the sins that were placed upon Him. He never sinned in His person. But yet, when my sin became His, He actually bore the guilt of it. It became His so that He was guilty. And when God poured His wrath upon Him, it's because He deserved it. You see, God is never going to condemn an innocent man. When my sin became Christ, it became Christ so that He became guilty of it. And He bore the shame of it. He never sinned in His person. Perish the blasphemous thought. He never sinned in His person. But it's worse. The Scripture says He was made sin. God forsook Him. Now the Scripture says, David said, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Christ was forsaken because on the cross He was made sin, and that's what God does to sinners. God will never clear the wicked. He gives them exactly what they deserve. God will never condemn the righteous. Now, just as truly as the righteousness of Christ becomes mine and my sin becomes His, God acts in absolute justice. He gave Christ what He deserved, and He gives me what I deserve, perfect righteousness. Now in Romans chapter 3, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. There's our state before God, guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, is there anything we can do to get out of this? No. All the law does is condemn us. But, that doesn't mean there's no hope. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is what the Old Testament Scriptures have always taught. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Now that's a big word. It means an appeasement. God has removed His reason for anger. My sin was lifted off of me, placed upon Christ. God's anger and wrath came upon Him. His righteousness is given to me. He has no reason to be mad at me. I'm justified. I'm just before God, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Notice it didn't say to declare His mercy or His forgiveness or His grace, but His righteousness is declared in the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, my sin became His. The Lord laid on Him our iniquity, the iniquity of every believer who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Now, understand this. You can't understand it. It can't be explained. This is a mystery so profound that to explain it is to explain it away. It's to be declared and believed. Christ was made sin, and everybody He died for is made the very righteousness of God in Him. And my last point is salvation. How clearly I see this, the one reason for the release of Barabbas was Christ took his place. And the one reason for my release, and that's a beautiful word, release. Barabbas heard these words, you've been released. You've been set free. You've been liberated. This is how the word is translated. You've been forgiven. It means depart, send away, dismiss, case dismissed. Barabbas was set free. And that describes God's salvation. Because Christ took my place. I've been set free. Now, in this story, I see God's absolute justice. God is just. No sin will go unpunished. But I also see God's love. Oh, the love of God for sinners. And I see God's glory. What glory that God has made a way to be just and yet justify the ungodly. And I see that which captivates my heart. As Isaac Watts said so many years ago, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Now, we're not told what happened to Barabbas after this, but I like to think that somebody told him what Christ did for him. And in hearing that, he heard the gospel and believed. Now, I don't know if he did, but I like to think that he did. If Christ took your place, you must be saved. Now, we have this message on DVD, CD, or cassette. If you call the church or write the email on the screen, or write the church, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.